Blessed be the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I enjoy most of the Rocky movies. My favorite one is probably Rocky III. You remember the story? You remember he fights who? Clubber Lang, also known as Mr. T. And it's special because there are actually two fights in the movie. The first one, Rocky is not prepared. He's not ready. His manager and trainer and friend has a heart attack right before the fight. Clubber Lang knocks him out. Rocky goes back to the locker room and Mickey dies. But I'm struck when Rocky and Clubber are fighting, and you know they do the whole thing with Mr. T doing that, and he hits Rocky square in the jaw. Rocky falls down. The count is from 1 to 10. But Clubber Lang looks at him and says, "Come on, get up! Get up! I've been waiting 3 years for this. Get up! So I can beat you again." Of course, he doesn't get up. We have baptismal vows. And in those baptismal vows, we do what? We renounce the flesh, the world, and the devil. Sometimes it feels like those voices are mocking us, whether it's the devil or the world around us, or our own sense of failure, our own sense of sin, saying, "Get up. Get off the mat so I can give you another beat." Sometimes it feels that way. Well, how do we get up? How do we keep going? How do we persevere? Bernard of Clairvaux says, "Understand that the devil always attacks perseverance because he knows it is the only virtue that wins the crown." So how do we persevere? How do we win the crown? The book of Hebrews is written in part to help those Christians in Rome answer this question. They are under the persecution of Nero, which has just begun. Remember what Nero did? He burned the city, and then he blamed the Christians. Then he went after them. So the author of Hebrews is saying, keep going, keep continuing, continue in the faith, despite the persecution. Now the book is instructive for us. We need to hear the call to keep on and to persevere. And we can all persevere by following the guidance in Hebrews to be focused, to put aside what hinders us, and to be bound together. Now, first we persevere by heeding Hebrews' guidance to be focused. Listen to how the book of Hebrews describes the saints of old. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. And I love this line, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Now that's what you call focus. That's what you call single-mindedness. For the sake of God and for the sake of His message, going for all. Giving your all. Giving everything you have. Now Jesus says today, "I've not come to bring peace but division." And look at the relationships that He describes. The closest ones we have as human beings. Mother and daughter, father and son. Daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. He says, even they, the ones you love the most, you cannot love them more than Me. And if it causes division in the family, so be it. it causes division in the family. But I am first. You must focus on me. The author of Hebrews again says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. When you look forward, you see Christ. That is focus. So stay focused on Christ. I like the picture we have up in the comments that says, true prayer is a life of radical abandonment to God. It's a wonderful phrase. That is focus. That is what the ancients have taught us. Well, next we can persevere by taking the guidance of Hebrews to be able to put aside that which hinders. Now, that has two elements. One is retreat and one is advance. Sometimes we have to, to keep on, we have to step back. When we find ourselves on the mat, sometimes we need to get up and step away for a while. Wayne Cordiero, who wrote of his own struggle with depression, says this. He says, be wise, live differently, but don't get overconfident. Sometimes failure and struggle and being on the mat are signs that something is not right and that we need to step back. So we have to retreat in every way. This is why we do, partly why we do what we're doing right now. This is Sabbath. This is time to step back. This is why God instituted Sabbath into the rhythm of the people of God, to step back. Walter Brueggemann says, Sabbath is about work stoppage. It is about withdrawal from the anxiety system of Pharaoh. The refusal to let one's life be defined by production and consumption and the endless pursuit of well-being. We need Sabbath. We need to step back. Sometimes perseverance involves stepping back. Sometimes it involves moving forward. When we lay aside that which hinders. In our gospel, Jesus says he wishes to bring fire. I believe he's talking about the fire of transformation, not the fire of judgment. The author of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us, and let us run with perseverance. We cannot run with perseverance if we are holding on to bitterness, unforgiveness, selfish habits. We move forward by allowing the Savior to change us. I read this quote recently in the Living Church. His love, Christ's love, is the white flame that burns away our self-destruction, leaving only the brilliance of his own burning. Living in him, we fall to dust and ashes, while he becomes all in all. A runner cannot run the race with ankle weights. A balloon cannot go higher without throwing the bags of sand out. A sinking ship throws out the unnecessary items so that it can move forward. We lay aside those things that weigh us down. We can persevere when we follow the guidance of Hebrews to be focused, to lay aside those things that hinder. And lastly, we persevere best when we persevere together. Brief return to Clubber Lang and Rocky. He got his second shot, and you remember that second fight. I know you do. He's basically trying to get Clubber Lang to punch himself out. They're going at it, and Rocky starts taunting him. He says, come on, champ. He's so bad. Right? He's so bad. He starts rubbing his mohawk and saying, come on, champ. I'm so bad. You ain't nothing. Now, You expect me to say that's what you should do when you're wanting to persevere. But I actually do not recommend that. The Christian life is not an independent journey, with us all by ourselves, facing the enemy, all alone, in the ring. When dealing with the devil, the world, and our own struggles, I strongly recommend not talking trash and saying, "It's so bad," like Rocky. Don't pick fights with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because as individuals, those are fights you cannot win. We've had some experience with people who were oppressed or possessed by the devil. And the recommendation is always, don't go by yourself. Because you're asking for trouble. And even the strongest among us cannot face the Christian life by ourselves. The book of Isaiah, famous passage. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But then the famous verse, but they, all of us together, who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And here's something from Hebrews, from our passage today, that ought to make you think a little bit. He says, all of these, referring to those saints of old, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. That ought to make you scratch your head. What a stunning verse. The great saints of the Old Testament in this case, the men and women of faithfulness, are not complete without the whole of the people of God. There is still work to be done on behalf of the kingdom of God here and now, and we are part of it. The church is not a collection of individuals, people trying to make sense of life. We are in it together. We persevere when we are together. There's two versions of the Nicene Creed in our liturgy. And I like to use the "I believe" in this one because the language matches right one. But we also say "we believe." And I think both are equally valid and important. Sometimes you can stand and say, "I believe. This is what I believe." Other times you think, "I don't know. Do I really believe? Is it really true? With all of this that happens, is it really true?" That's when we stand hand in hand and say, "We believe. We believe. We are together." When someone falls, when someone doubts, someone else lifts them up. Not in argument, not in beat down, but lifts them up and say, "I understand. This is what we believe together." We underestimate ourselves sometimes. We have all of heaven behind us. The people of God is not God's afterthought. He didn't have in mind, "Well, I'll send my son someday, and a bunch of individuals will accept him." No, he built his son's ministry through the people of God. And we are not complete without each other. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of visiting a restaurant that sort of looked like a church. And it was called the Church of God Grill. And he began to talk to the people about, "Well, what's this about? It sort of looks like a church in here." He said, "Oh, yeah, it used to be. But one day we decided we'd sell chicken dinners. And we got so good at selling chicken dinners that we just decided to leave that church stuff behind." Raise your hand if you want to be Epiphany Grill. No. No, no, no. We are called for so much more. Wonderful verse in the Old Testament. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord. We persevere by taking the guidance of Hebrews to be focused, to put aside that which hinders us, and to be bound together. Because when we persevere best when we persevere together. Let us pray.